Well, I'm glad he did. One man said, yeah, I know you're touched. But anyway, take your Bible, Luke chapter 6. I was reading my Bible the other day. I do that once in a while. Thank you. And I read a little portion about this, and I thought, boy, you know, how interesting this part of the Scripture is. If you don't have a part of the rock, you have nothing. The Bible talks about the man that built his house upon the sand, and another man built his house upon the rock. And he talks about how that we have the privilege of hearing the Word of God. And some people don't take the Word of God very seriously. And Satan comes in, while God offers it, Satan comes in and takes it away from them. And they never do come to Christ. Then there's others that get excited about it, and the seed is sowed. And all of a sudden they grow up a little bit, but they do not have their hearts prepared to go any further. And they just wilt away. And the Bible talks about that they grow up on their stones and things that are underground. And then there's some that, boy, they get so excited about asking Jesus in their heart. And it's happy day, and everything's great and everything. But they fail to do what the Lord Jesus Christ tells them to do. And the only way we can find out what Jesus Christ tells us what to do is read our Bible, because that is the instruction book from God. You buy a brand new car, they give you a book in your glove box, and it tells you everything you need to know about that vehicle. And the people that created that vehicle are the ones who wrote that. I figured that they know what they're talking about, don't you think? Some people never get that out. My wife was, my son gave my wife a brand new PT Cruiser for her birthday 1 year. And, of course, he had to put his TV logo on it. You don't shoot straight with your head shear on it. And I think that it was a write-off. I think it was. I don't care. It worked great. Amen. We're happy about that. Anybody wants to give me a write-off, I'm happy, you know. So anyway, she was in the car, and somehow she bumped the flasher, the four-way flashers, and she couldn't figure it out. Finally, she had to pull over to the side of the road and get out that owner's manual. It went down to hazard. There it was. And there it was, right in front of the shift gear. And the shift gear had hid that, and she couldn't see it. You know, there's a lot of people like that today that run around. I meet a lot of them. They come to church, and Sunday morning they get infused by the Word of God. And then Monday and Tuesday and maybe once in a while they come on Wednesday night, and then Thursday and Friday and Saturday they're living on their own. And they do not get the instructions from the Word of God. Jesus Christ said that's kind of like those people are. They get into that. They grow up, and then all of a sudden they just kind of wilt away. And that's a hazard for a Christian. Then there's others that grow up, and then they get along with the bad crowd. Of course, the weeds grow up around them, and they suck all the moisture and all the nutrients away, and they don't do it. But then there's some. There's some that get in the good ground. Same seed. Same seed for all of them. Same seed. The sowers are us. Same seed. Sowers are us. And then they miss out on that. I hope today that we would catch that. Now today I want to talk to you about a subject called the firm foundation. Jesus is about to close his Sermon on the Mount, and that's the Sermon of the Beatitudes. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses that in the comparison, illustrating the benefits of attending his word. And it was not sufficient, he says, it's not sufficient to hear just the word, but they need to obey the word. They not only to hear it, but they need to obey it. He compares man who hears and obeys him to the man who builds his house upon the rock. Now, remember, I don't want you to miss out on that thought that I gave you before about the seed and the sower. Now we're talking about the man that hears the word of God, but he doesn't do it. Most people know a little scripture called John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How many know that scripture? Would you raise your hand? You pretty much can quote that, right? But there's so many people out in this world that know that scripture but don't know what it means. They've never applied it. They've never come to the place in their life that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in, whosoever calls upon, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall have the everlasting life. They don't appropriate it. Boy, there's a lot of people who know a lot of Bible. Boy, I remember going to college and Bible college, and there's a lot of people who knew a lot of Bible. Boy, they knew a lot of Bible. But boy, I'll tell you what, for what they knew and what they did, sure didn't. Well, they just knew a lot of Bible. They had a lot of brain. They had a lot of brain stuff up here, but it didn't ooze out here. You'll meet them every day. You'll meet the children that you've raised up in your home, and you've read it in the Word of God, and you've quote unquote force fed them the Bible, and you've tried and tried and tried, but all of a sudden, we forget many times that all of us are like Adam and Eve. They all have a free will. They have a choice. And they can make that choice. You made the choice today to come to church. Some of you come to our church for the first time. You're going like, ooh, I don't know about that. Ooh, there were strange people there. Hello! I don't care where you go, there's strange people. And if you don't think they're strange people, then you're probably one of them. But anyway. Jesus says, if you obey me, you're building your life on a foundation that is sure, steadfast, and sure. In Palestine, there was considerable extent of land, of hills and mountains. Like other countries of that description, it was a subject of sudden and violent rains. A friend of mine, Chaplain Racy, I just talked to him last week, and he lives down in about 40 miles south of Dallas, Texas, and he takes care of a camp down there. And he said, preacher, he said, you can't imagine. He said, it rained within a few hours, 20 inches of rain. Son, that's a gully washer, what I call. Amen. He said, I've never seen it rain like that. I said, I told you not to move from Montana down there. I told you not to go to Texas. But anyway, that was supposed to be funny, and 90% of our church is Texans, and I can tell that there's a little bit of rebellion going on there. Amen. Now, in the country that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about, they understood it. The Jordan was the principal stream. It was annually swollen to a great extent and became rapid and furious in its course, very dangerous. The streams which ran among the hills, whose channels might have been dried during the whole months of the year, suddenly became swollen with rain and would pour down impetuously into the plains below. Everything in the way of the torrents was swept away. I mean, if you were close to one of these, you might call them gullies, whatever you call it, everything was just, it was gone. Even houses erected within certain areas, the sudden inundation of the, especially found in the sand, they'd just be swept away. The bursting stream would shake its foundation, rapid torrent would gradually wash away its base, and it was gone. And rocks in that country were very common, too. And they were easily secure and easily to build your house upon that rock. And here in Matthew, if you go to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this wise man. Different place in the Bible talks about this, the wise man and the foolish man. Wise men, the foolish man, they built the house upon the rock, and another one built his house upon the sand. And there was a great storm came and became a great flood and quickly destroyed one, but the other one that was built upon the rock, the floods could not budge it. Christ speaks to the multitude, an example of those who were listening to these words, and those people understood the floods. They understood the some of you folks been down south in by the deserts, and you see these great big bridges, and you're going like, what in the world are these things here for? Well, that's why they're there, because every once in a while they get a gully washer, and it just completely destroys everything in its path. And these people in Palestine, they understood this that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Listen to what Luke writes. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. This is what Jesus said. He's like a man that built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Listen to what he says in the first few words of that verse. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. He said, I want you to know that if you come to me and you hear what I say and you do them, this is what I'm going to say. You're a wise man. There's a lot of people today that come to God and listen to God. But they don't do them. And God said, that man's a foolish man. There are scriptures and portions of scripture. Yes, I wish that people would get the idea, understand that the Bible is not just for the preacher. The Bible is your love letter to you. You may be going through the most horrendous things in your life right now. You may be going through some things in your life you have no idea which way to turn. But I'm going to tell you where you can find out the answers right here, the Word of God. If I was a young man today, I would make sure that I'd read a proverb every day. Did you know the proverb was written for man? So that he knows how to act. Not only how to act, but how to react. That's a good one. How to react. You know, usually the reaction is usually the one that gets us in trouble. You know, when I was playing football, I was in college, and my last year I played defensive end. I played fullback almost all year, but I came and had the chance to play defensive end. That was really fun because you didn't have to remember any of the plays. All you had to know is if you were going to red dog or whatever, that go after the quarterback or whatever, or you had to conceal the left end or whatever. And this guy kept throwing dirt in my face. He's a filthy player. And he'd hold me. And finally, I had enough of it. And I yelled at the ref. And I said, will you get this guy off me? He said, I've been watching you, boy. One more earth outburst like that, and you're off. I'm kicking you off the field. What was that? That was a reaction. Some guy pounded me. I hauled off and smacked them. Guess who's going to get the flag? Not the first guy. The guy that reacts. And so I pray constantly, God, help me how I react. Help me how I react. Where do I find that? I find it in the Word of God, how I should react. Love them that, what, persecute you. Do good unto them that, you know, do bad to you and whatever on, you know, go on and on. So he says, I'm going to tell you about the wise man. He's the guy that has met me. That's how I'm the Word of God. And he's the guy that listens to me. And he's the guy that does what I tell him to do. We got a lot of people that met him and we got a lot of people that hear him, but not very few people want to do what he tells you to do. Yeah, I'll listen to you, but what's the end result? Did you or did you not do what I told you to do? If you did what I told you to do, you are a what? Wise man. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you are a foolish man. Verse 49, would you look at there, please? But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and what's the next word? Boy, that doesn't sound very good, does it? I mean, have you ever heard the old saying, the rug pulled out from under you? Yeah. God said, I'm going to tell you something. You meet with me, I tell you how you ought to live, and you do what I tell you how you live, and you're a wise man. But I'm going to tell you, if you know me, and you hear what I say and you don't do what I say, you're immediately, you hear that? immediately, you're going to fail. And because of that, I'm going to call you a fool. The Lord had just finished the Beatitudes. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And in that, he lists all the problems that we'll ever face. If you look at the Beatitudes, you'll find it pretty much lists any kind of problem you're going to face. And then he lists all the benefits that we're going to share because of that in heaven. And he tells the outcome of those who remain faithful, they will lose their anxiety and lose their anxiousness. If you trust the Lord, what's this old scripture that many of us know? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Hey, that's real. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, there are so many people today that run around that they've been with the Lord and they've heard what the Lord told them, but they don't do what God tells them to do. And what we will win if we stay in His Word, we will receive if we are faithful. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, listen to this, entangled therein and overcome. And the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. God said, let me tell you something. You can get saved. And you can hear the word of God. But that'll only last for a little bit. What's going to happen is that if you do not stay in the Word of God, this is what it says. They are again entangled themselves and overcome. The latter end is worse than them than in the beginning. Here's a man that got saved. He got saved. I mean, he's saved. If he died today, he'd go to heaven. Secondly, he gets in the Word of God, but all of a sudden he begins to drift. He doesn't think it's important to come to church anymore. He doesn't think it's important to advise his friends that Jesus Christ loves them and that he gave his life for them, that they could go to heaven and only accept Christ as their personal Savior. He starts drifting from that. He starts drifting from being around the right kind of people. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. In other words, like my mama said, you run with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. My dad said, yeah, you run with the skunk, you smell like one, amen. So evil communication corrupts good manners. The Scripture teaches us that we better be careful who we're running with. You know the old saying, birds of the feather flock together. There's a reason that people say that, because they know that it's not good to be around people that do not love the Lord. That do not that are very uncautious. That's a new word, uncautious. Of who they're with. Proverbs in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2 and Proverbs 3 tells David is telling his son Solomon, and Solomon is trying to tell his son Rehoboam, hey, these are the people you don't want to run with. Because it'll cause you great grief. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of this world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Years ago, I was scuba diving in the Bow River up in Canada. And you can go by, there's a golf course right on the Bow River there. And the water is desperately cold. I mean, you get a ice cream headache when you get into the water right at first, and it goes away about 2 minutes, and then it's pretty good. So you're wondering, maybe that wasn't a good idea in the first place. But anyway, I was down in there, and a guy told me there's a lot of golf balls there. So I had my, you ought to saw me. I looked like the Michelin man. I had my wetsuit on, so I was sticking golf balls inside my, and man, I was just huge. And I probably had 100, 150 golf balls inside of my suit. Well, while I was doing that, I noticed a Rapala, or Rapala, a Northern Pike Rapala. It was a good size one. I noticed there. And I had my tanks on then. And so I went down after that thing. I grabbed it. But it wouldn't let go of me. It had spider wire on it. And I was 10 feet in the water. You can't breathe very good in 10 feet without your air tanks on. And I thought, I'm entangled. We always are told to carry a knife with me. Boy, it's good to have a knife on you. And while I was holding my breath, I took that knife out and I cut that wire and I came to the top going like that. I took that Rapala, and it's in my glory box in my house. I have certain things that I'm reminded. That thing entangled me. Oh man, I just have that. It's free. That's the way life is. Sometimes we teenagers, we young adults, we see something. Boy, if we could just get that, and all of a sudden it entangles us and causes us to lose every opportunity that God had for us to do some things. I about died that day. That's exactly what Peter's writing here. He tangles it. That is sure a warning heed. Don't backslide. Don't go back to your old ways. Because you have no idea how long, how far it'll take you. And how much it'll cost you. And if you'll ever come back. Don't ever get entangled by the world. The world has a lot of sparkly toys out there. Boy, they have a lot of nice things. Some of you hunters know that your sparkly toy is one of them great big. My friend shot an 8x8 the other day. Huge buck. I mean, muley. Huge bull. Huge. Some people said, I will give up my church. I will give up my wife. I'll give up my family. I'll give up my mother-in-law. Hey, that's an idea. And I'll give up anything so I can have that on my wall. I think the Bible talks about idols someplace. Don't get entangled with something you can't get away from. There are some things in life that you want to be very careful with. Number one, you got to be careful about your friends. Do you have a friend that raises you up or tears you down or takes you with you? That's what he's talking about here. God says, stay faithful. When we come to Him, when we hear Him, when we do what He says, and by the way, He has just informed them that in this life there are a lot of pitfalls and a lot of miseries and a lot of woe and a lot of battles and a lot of fighting, a lot of skirmishing. This man who hears what God tells him to do, this is not the man that God has left to be ignorant. He said, do what I tell you. He listened, but did not do what I called you to do. Then he's a fool. Christ carefully makes his point by using the parable. The parable is used by making compare the earthly things to heavenly things. The definition of a parable is the earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As we pick up the narrative in Luke chapter 6, Christ has moved from Nazareth to Capernaum because of such a crowd. And on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, more importantly on the main highway of the land, we see Christ with the multitude sitting in green grass slopes looking over the beautiful Sea of Galilee on the northwestern shore. And first, Christ has just commissioned his disciples. He had just said, okay, fellas, this is your job. This is what I'm calling you to do in the ministry. Then he gives, which is called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are one of the most beloved portions of Scriptures. Beatitudes forms the beginning of what we have been known to call now the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter, it says, I believe it's 7, Luke chapter 6, excuse me. Blessed be the poor, be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, and ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, and ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out the evil name for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, and behold, your reward is great in heaven, for like manner did the fathers of prophets. So, therefore, Jesus told them, if you come to me, and if you hear me, and if you do what I tell you to do, then I will tell you what kind of man you are. The fellow who comes to me and hears what I say and does not do what I tell you to do is like the man who builds his house on the sand. If a man that does not do what he is told to do, I will tell you what kind of man that is. He is a foolish man. Faithfulness. I love that word. Faithfulness. It is a Latin word. Semper fidelis. Which happens to be the Marines' motto, always faithful. I found out a few things in the last 68 years of my life. Not everyone can be smart. And not everyone can be talented. But I've also found that anyone can be faithful. Smallest job, you can be faithful. Proverbs says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. That's what the Bible says. Faithful man will abound with blessing. You know some people are faithful. They tell you they're going to do something, they do it. What does that do to you? Hey, I know he'll do it. The other day we had a situation come up and somebody needed some help, and I saw one of our guys, and I know he is extremely busy. And I said, can you do this for me? He said, yes, sir, preacher, I'll get it done. Got it done. You know what a blessing that is to me? Well, it's a terrible thing when you ask somebody to do something and you're not sure they're going to do it. And you always happen to inspect instead of expect. Some of you men that are employers, you understand what I'm talking about. Boy, you just can count on that guy. Or you can just count on that girl. Don't worry. It's going to happen. It's going to be done. What is that? It's called faithfulness. Don't you like a car that you just go out there and jump in, fire it up, and just take off? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You remember that old car that wasn't like that? I had a car like that. I called it Jezebel. That old Jezebel, she wouldn't do nothing. I don't know how many years ago it was, the church bought me a Blazer. And, boy, I just jump on it there and touch the starter. Going, man, what a blessing to have something that's faithful. I like a faithful refrigerator. It's always running. It doesn't wilt some things and doesn't spoil some things. It's running all the time. How many like a faithful refrigerator? Excuse me, refrigerator. There you go. I just call it fridge. How many like a faithful freezer? You've heard the story. My wife and I were just starting a church. We had 8 people in that church. I was working 3 jobs plus pastoring that church. I was trying my hardest to get that thing going. And after a while, it started going. I think we're in the 40s and 50s. We're rejoicing, and boy, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. And the family in our church says, "Hey, preacher, would you like some chickens? We're butchering chickens." I said, "Sure, bring them over." And Monday morning, John knocked on the door, and here's a guy with a burlap bag of chickens. And they were still doing this. My wife flipped out. She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to butcher them." She said, "Honey, how do you do that?" I said, "Just watch me. We've just been married for about a year and a half. And I butchered them." She said, "How'd you butcher them?" "Same way my mama did. Same way my daddy. I used to go out and catch the chickens." When I was home, mama said, "Hey, we're going to have the preacher over. Go out and get some chickens." I said, "I'll take out chickens." We had a little hook out there, grab them by the leg and pull them out and chop the head off. I didn't realize that when you chop the head off, they work like a spray paint. And I did the once. I did the chicken coop. My dad wasn't too impressed with that. Secondly, I found out if you cut the head off and let them go, they'll just flop all around. They just go crazy, man. My mama caught me. I only did that once. "You never bruise the meat," she said. So I took care of them chickens, amen. Then another guy brought us over some fish, and somebody else brought us, we lived in the valley of the Jolly Green Giant, and they brought us over a 50-gallon tank of peas. "What you going to do with that?" "Man, you blanch them and freeze them, you know. Hey, man, I tell you what, it was wonderful. I mean, the freezer was full." And then my mom and daddy from Michigan says, come on home, it's harvest time, and I need your help." My dad said, "You just come home, we'll take care of it." So we came home, had a good time, came back, and guess what? I smelled something. It smelled like something rotten. We'd been gone for 2 weeks. And somehow, the plug got pulled from the freezer, and that stuff sat in there for 2 weeks. You said, "Did you save any of it?" No. It's a lot cheaper to buy peas and chicken than it is go get your stomach pumped, amen. So we had to throw it all away. I like faithful things. You know, God's faithful. He's so faithful, he gives us a love letter to you. If you just read this book and find out what he has to tell you, he'll sure change your life. But there's some people that hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, but don't adhere to it. I know one man, if we had a guy telling him how to do something, and I don't know how many times to do it, but he did it a different way. He did it a different way. It cost my dad a lot of money on that farm because he didn't do what my dad told him to do. He was there. He heard him, but he didn't follow the instructions. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is right here, the Bible. And how in the world do you think that you can live in a crazy, wild, mixed up world that we do today and not have some instruction to find out how to do it? You're going to have a hard time. Yes, you can come to church. Preacher can preach the fire out of you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and try to keep you going. But you personally can come and get your own and find out how God is speaking to your heart and your life and change your life and say, "Oh my, maybe I shouldn't be doing it because the Bible says you're not to do that." And, "Boy, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ." And so those are the things we do it. When I was growing up, my mom, I was at school and some idiot wanted to do something. I said, "Man, my mama killed me." How many ever use that? Smart people. My mama said, "You can use my name anytime to get yourself out of trouble." One time I said, "My preacher killed me." I think he would have. And he should have. But the guy said, "Oh, you're just weird." They got in a lot of trouble that night. I didn't go. I'm sure fortunate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not what the preacher said. It's what God says. Now, you better have a preacher that tells you what the Bible says. explain some things that the Bible says, and that's why God says you're not supposed to forsake the assembly. You're not supposed to not come to church. You're supposed to be here to church for the fellowship, for getting around brothers and sisters in Christ, getting around the right kind of people. On New Year's Eve, we have a watch night service. You know why we have that watch night service? Because we want you to be around the right kind of people on New Year's Eve night. You're around the right kind of people. You won't do stupid stuff. Well, maybe. Yeah, there's some stupid stuff. But you won't do things that will hurt you spiritually and ruin your family and ruin your testimony. Hey, Christians, you need to have a life of prayer, a life of reading this Word of God, and a life of service to serve the Lord. You'll never be so happy in your whole life when you do that. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the dear folks who sat so good this morning. I know, Lord, they're hungry. I know there's a lot of things that need to be done. But, Lord God, help us do the first things, and that is that we would today understand that it's very important for us to live for you. Lord, maybe there's some here today that don't even know what I'm talking about. There's never been a point in their life that they've received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. They've heard it. They've heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They've heard that, but they've never applied it. I pray today that they would apply that. Oh God, please, be with us today that we'd be more like you. We'd read the love letter that you sent to us, that we can, it's so appropriate for even today. Lord, help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm on my way to heaven. There's been a time and place in my heart and my life I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, and I asked him to be my personal Savior. And I thank God for that. Why don't you raise your hand and say that to me? I affirm that, preacher. I know there's a time in my life I've asked Jesus in my heart, and I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. God bless you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those who could not raise their hand. They're not sure, oh God, that today would be that day that they accept you as their Savior. Lord, I pray today would be a day that would change our hearts and our lives in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. This is called the invitation. If you've never heard, been in our church before, we invite folks to come forward. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. I'd sure love to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism, that down in the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, we've been looking for a church like this. This is where we want to join. Why don't you come at this time? You're today, you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you meet me up front? Let me show you from the Word of God how you know you go to heaven. What a great opportunity to know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Boy, I want to do that. I want to do what the Bible says. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. This we want to put our name in it. This is where we're going to call home. Why don't you come? Again, if you have a question about your salvation, say, preacher, you know, I don't know about this heaven business. I don't know about the hell business. There's never been a point time in my life that I can point back and say, you know, I remember when I was at Bible school or I was at Bible camp or I was at church. I can't remember. Or maybe at the knee of my mama. Or my dad, that I bent down and I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. I can't remember that day. Well, there should be a day like that in your life. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we can be in church today.
Thank you for these dear folks that have come. Lord, I pray you'd bless. Help us as we come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Be a time of refreshing, time of the Word of God. That'd be challenging us to live another week. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.